You'll open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 5, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. We want to look at verse 22, John, chapter 5, verse 22. Jesus tells us in John chapter 5 and verse 22, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." As we think about judgment and salvation, these words are a little puzzling to us as you look at it in detail, where that Jesus said, "The Father judges no man." Judgment, where God is sitting on the throne and all the lost are brought before him. And then we think about the matter of salvation. And then he goes on to say in that light that he hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Well, the word judgment in dealing with this here is not what we normally think about. Normally in the judgment, we're thinking about a judgment of works. And that's the main judgment that we get caught up in, and thinking that, yes, we're going to have to stand before God. We're going to have to give an account of our works, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And then the results of that judgment is based upon our works. And we come to a question in our minds concerning the matter of salvation, and where that in salvation we're not judged according to our works. Yet we have that idea that, well, we've got to repent of our sins. We're going to hell because of what we've done. And that begins to work into our minds, and we've accepted that and don't think about really what is going on and what is happening in the matter of salvation and in the matter of judgment of works. And so in the term of judgment, in matter of examining works, or judging based upon another principle in which the Bible tells us is done in both situations. For salvation is not a judgment of works. It is by faith, and how that God is involved in that judgment. Though when it says here, "For the Father judges no man," and that judgment said he doesn't judge us for works, and praise God that he doesn't. That's left up to Jesus to determine our actions and the activities are what we do and what the results of that judgment is. Mainly what we're concerned about is whether or not we're going to heaven and whether or not our friends are going to heaven. And based upon what principle is that brought about in the matter of how do they go to heaven and who makes that decision as to whether or not they're qualified to go to heaven. There are many stories and jokes and movies and people take it to be exact truth of how that when they get to heaven, what are you going to tell St. Peter the reason why you need to go into heaven? Well, St. Peter's not going to be at a gate, I tell you, in the first place. Those stories are not actual or accurate in any form or fashion on them. And what's decided as far as heaven is concerned is dealt with your relationship with Jesus. Now, God the Father judges salvation, like I said, by your faith and not by your works. Look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Acts 17 and verse 30. In Acts 17 and verse 30, here the Bible tells us, and God tells us, "The time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Now, here's talking about the matter of decision of salvation, and it's not a matter of based upon our works, though we're told to repent of our works, but the main issue is on Jesus. Notice that in verse 31, "because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man." That man is Jesus. and where he goes on to explain who he is, whom he hath ordained, whereby he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. Our judgment for salvation, or our condition for salvation, is based upon our belief in Jesus Christ. Notice in John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a righteous man. He was the ruler of the Jews. He was very religious. And as far as the attitude or the concerns of the people, if anybody was good, they would almost assure that Nicodemus was one of those. And then they had the false belief that Nicodemus was going to heaven simply because he was a Jew. They had the assurance of that because they felt like if he's rich and has prospered, God has blessed him, so therefore he's going to heaven. And Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born again. And this was a matter that really shook Nicodemus. What in the world have I done that I would deserve not to go to heaven? I've kept the law. I've done all the things that is there, being a ruler of the Jews. He's been very careful about his life and doing the things that were right. Then Jesus tells him in verse 18, he that believeth on him, on Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You don't hear this talked about much in the plan of salvation. In the plan of salvation that we normally present, and we try to present to people on that, is that you're wicked, you're evil, you're ungodly, and you're on your way to a devil's hell. And you've got to be forgiven of your sins, and that's partly true. And that you need to repent of your sin, that's partly true. And that your salvation then is based upon your repentance and your forgiveness of sins. Salvation is not based upon your works. Now remember that. It's based upon whether or not you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And when you begin to read the scriptures dealing with salvation, what must I do to be saved? We'll look at that a little bit. It said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here you're condemned already, not because you've sinned, not because you stole anything, or not because you shot somebody, but simply because you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Look at that again, verse 18. He that believeth on him, on Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because we would add a list of crimes right there, and Jesus doesn't. He said, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, some people said, okay, if we can go to heaven because we believe on a name, there's other names that we can believe and other ways to go to heaven. Well, look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. 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 Peter and John was called into question about the healing of a man. And then as they were called in and how this could come about, God concludes this in verse 12 of Acts chapter 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, we must, and salvation is based on whether or not you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's the only name that you can believe in. You're not saved by believing in God. There are people today who believe in God. There are those of other faiths that say they believe in Jehovah God. The Jews believe in the same God that we believe in. They believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But they do not believe in Jesus. The name of God does not redeem you. It does not save you. Only the name of Jesus, that's the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. And the reason why we are is because of what Jesus has done for us. But what Jesus has done for us, and that he took our sins upon him when he died on the cross. He took the punishment of sin for us. He was crucified. He was buried. and he was raised again the third day. Jesus is the only one that's done that, and only by the name of Jesus can we have salvation. No other name. Notice, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, a familiar passage, but look at it again now. As we think about salvation, now we're just looking at salvation. We're not talking about the other judgments of works. And let me just say here, to keep you from being confused, the other judgment of works does not determine whether or not you go to heaven or hell. Only this particular judgment, as your relationship with Jesus, determines whether or not you go to heaven or hell. There'll be good people, honest people, upright people, who will be suffering in hell for all of eternity because they refuse to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You'll have mean people, ungodly people, horrible people. They'll be in heaven because they believe in the name of Jesus Christ as God has told them to do. Look at it now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, for by grace, you cannot be saved by your power. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins upon the cross, was buried and raised again the third day, that activates the power, the grace of God, to perform a miracle in your life. And that grace is by works? No. Notice it again. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now the reason for that is so that every soul on the face of this earth can be saved regardless of who they are, because you're not saved by works, you're saved by grace. And then it goes to emphasize this, says that it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we have people who make that profession of faith, we say. People who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. People who believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, was buried and raised again the third day. And they make that belief, and they're born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. By God's grace, not by their works. But then after they're saved, as a child of God, and they become disobedient, and they're not obedient to Christ, what do? We say, well, they really weren't saved. When we say that, then we're saying that salvation was based upon their works and not by grace. You've got to come to that realization that you're saved by grace and not by works. Now, we'll get into the matter of the works and where that fits into our life, whether saved or lost in this line. But coming to the realization that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And how that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Notice in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Why is it only the name of Jesus whereby we can be saved? Why couldn't we be saved by the name of the Holy Spirit? Why couldn't we be saved by the name of God the Father? See, why is it that Jesus is the only name whereby we can be saved? Well, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, Romans 5 and verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Jesus came to walk in our shoes, to take on our flesh, which was created in his image. He came to live a sinless life and take the punishment for our sins. Jesus came and shed his blood on the cross, and only through his sinless blood would God accept reconciliation. Would God accept that for our sins? And he would forgive us of our sins, not because we might change our life, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus came, as he said, to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, in that matter of saving that was lost, That was the matter of him willing to die on the cross for our sins. He was willing to take the punishment of sin. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus took that punishment totally and completely in every phase of our life, whether it be spiritually, whether it be physically, however it might be, Jesus took that full punishment for us. And when we believe that he did, and that he's the Son of God, that he came to make us right with God, then we're made right with God. God accepts what he's done in the matter of making us right and accepting us. We're accepted in him by Jesus Christ. And so in the matter of Jesus, in the matter of salvation, is that we must believe that he is the Son of God, believe that he died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day. And when we believe, we're saved. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And you'll notice in verse 8, and notice some key words that are there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, where the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, talking about salvation. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. He didn't say, now salvation is near you by your actions, by your works. No, it's the word of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here again, the issue of believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that God sent him, and that he died for us, was buried and raised again the third day, then we're not condemned. God says he forgives us. In verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And then with your actions you're made right with God. No, that's not there. By your works, then God forgives. No, that's not there. It's all by grace. Now notice verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed, or shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, at verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is grace and not works. Salvation is by God's power through what Jesus has done for us. And praise God that it is. Now, when Jesus came the first time, and I say that to remind you he's coming again. Just as he came the first time, he is coming back to this earth. When he came the first time, he did not come to judge. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 47. 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 In John chapter 12 and verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's kind of strange. The first time that Jesus came, he did not come to judge your works, how much you've sinned or not sinned, or what type of sins you committed. He came to pay the price for your sins and my sins. He did not come to judge that part. He came that we might be saved through his sacrifice that he did for us. Now, when he comes the second time, Jesus will come then to judge the works of people. The first time he came to pay the price that we could have forgiveness of our sins, that we would be accepted by the Father. And he'll come the second time and he'll judge all sins. Look at verse 27. And that in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Matthew 16 and verse 27. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Now remember, the first time Jesus came, he came to die upon the cross. He did not come to judge man's activities and his sins. We are condemned already, he told us. Why? Because we've sinned? No, because we've not called upon the name of God, because we do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And to change that, you must believe, and God will forgive you and perform that miracle and make you a child of God. But when he comes back the second time in Matthew 16 and verse 27, and the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now think about that. He's coming back to reward every man according to his works. Now, how could he reward a person according to his works unless he judges what you've done? That's a judgment of works, not for salvation. This judgment will have nothing to do with salvation. It'll be a matter of what position you might have, the blessings that you might have or that you might not have because of the sin that's in your life. Look at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and beginning with verse 16. This is the time we look for as Christians. We believe that Jesus could come tonight and rightly so. This is what we call the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, thief in the night, which is paused there for a moment. At this particular coming, he comes as a thief in the night, which is mentioned in chapter 5 and verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When he comes, he brings back those who have died, who've gone on to heaven because they believe that he is the Son of God. Their souls come back with him. Their bodies are raised. Now, he doesn't save them. They've already been saved. Then, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Then we which are alive, that's talking about those who have believed that Jesus is the Son of God and have become children of God by the power of God. We are changed immediately. That action does not save us. We're already saved. And because we're saved, we will be caught up in the clouds to meet our loved ones and to meet the Lord in the air. So this is not a judgment for salvation. But as he comes on back to the earth, he will judge. But then even at the rapture, at that event, when he comes and the souls of our loved ones that's been in heaven for years come back and they receive their resurrected body and our bodies are changed, those of us who are saved, the lost, they'll remain here. At that point, we're going to stand at a judgment, not for salvation. We've already met that criteria when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we ask God to forgive us and to save us, and he did. Now, at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll stand at a judgment. And Jesus, this is the judgment seat of Christ, and he's the one who judges for works. Notice it now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. How important this is that you realize the difference between these two, the matter of salvation, of being saved by grace, and the matter of works, of what we're judged by, what we've done, whether good or bad, as to what position we'll have. Now, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, the results of that judgment is not for salvation. You cannot be at the judgment seat of Christ unless you are born again, unless you are saved. And you're not saved by works, you're saved by grace. But we will give an account of our works. What can our sins do to us as a child of God? Oh, there's so much involved in that. You can lose the joy of God's salvation. You can lose the crowns whereby you can honor God with. You can lose your witness. You can lose the power, but you can never lose your salvation because you're not judged by works. You're judged by the wonderful, marvelous grace of God, and you're kept by that grace. But what you'll do in heaven, what you'll do during the 1,000 years, what you'll do on the new earth, all depends upon this judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, and that judgment is according to your works. So sometimes we look at a person and their works is not what it should be, and we think, well, they're not saved. No, it's not. That's not the reason, would be the reason for them not to be saved. They're not going to have the blessings that God wants them to have. They're not going to have the positions that they could have. They'll have other positions. They're not saved by works. They're saved by God's marvelous grace. Let's go a little bit further. Look at the second coming of Christ when we come back with him to this earth in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Jesus, as he comes all the way back to the earth, at the rapture, he comes in the air. We meet our loved ones in the clouds, and then we come back with him 7 years later to this earth, and when he comes back to reign on the earth. Now, in between that time is a period of 7 years. 7 years of tribulation where judgment comes upon this earth as a judgment of works of sin. People will not be saved because of their works. You'll have some people that'll still be good, but not righteous, not perfect, not whole, but better than some of the others, but that's not going to save them. It will keep them from being punished as much as the others would because of their works. There'll be people who will be saved during that time, but it'll be the same as we are by faith and believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Not by works, but by God's grace. But now notice this in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. They're not going to be singing in the street, "The king is here, praise God. Man, now we've got peace." No, that's not going to be it. Every person on this earth at that point will be frightened, afraid. And they will wail because now Jesus is not coming to redeem a soul. He's coming back now to judge the works of people. He's coming back to judge the sins. And they know they have no place to stand. Terrible judgment will be coming. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace in Jesus Christ. Notice in Revelation 19 and verse 11. Revelation 19 and verse 11, it talks about the second coming a little bit more. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Now remember, he's not coming back for salvation. He did that the first time to take your place of mind. He didn't come to judge the first time. If he had, we'd not been saved. He came to take our place and to take our judgment. But when he comes back the second time in Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now that's different from what our songs tell us. That's different from what some people think about of the second coming of Christ. When he comes back, they're not going to be rejoicing in the streets. He said he comes back to in righteousness to judge sin, to judge and make war. It's one thing to stand in the grace of God. It's another thing to stand in the judgment of our sins. If we're judged by our sins, we would never be saved. But praise God, we're not judged by our sins. We're judged by our faith in Jesus Christ. Are you getting the picture? And where we need to see the difference in what's involved in this and the judgment of sin is terrible. We will answer for those sins we've committed as a child of God at the judgment seat of Christ. The result of it will not be whether or not we're going to heaven or hell. It'll be the matter of what blessings we have, what honor we can give to God, what position we might have. Nothing to do with our salvation. Now, in Psalms 96, verse 12. Psalms 96 and verse 12. Psalms 96 and verse 12. Verse 12. Here we have a prophecy concerning the return of our Lord and Savior. Not his first coming, but his second coming. In Psalms 96, Psalms chapter 96 and verse 12. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the world rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. They're mocking the word of God today. They don't think anything about the word of God. They use the name of Jesus as a curse word. He will be judged. They will be judged according to God's holy word. And the results of that judgment is punishment. Notice in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus comes back, the second coming, we come to the Valley of Armageddon. There we destroy the armies of Satan. And the result of the judgment of their sin is death. And they will spend eternity in the pits of hell. In fact, the Antichrist and the false prophets are cast into the lake of fire. The devil himself is bound in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Those who followed the Antichrist to start to stop us when we come back, they'll all be destroyed and their souls will be cast into the lake of fire. Then we find that Jesus will go from the valley of Megiddo or Armageddon, which is by Nazareth, go south to Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives. When he stands on the Mount of Olives, it's going to split. Half of it move toward the north and half of it to the south. It will enlarge the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is between the Mount of Olives and Mount Moriah, where the temple is. And in that valley, he's going to gather the nations of the world, the representatives that is there. And so in Matthew 25 and verse 31, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me and fed thee. Or then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we then thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto thee, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of one of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. They are judged how they treated the Jews during the 7 years tribulation. The result of that judgment is not salvation. The result of that judgment is that they will live into the 1,000-year reign. Some will have an opportunity to be saved. They'll have children. Their children will have an opportunity to be saved. We'll witness to them. Well, what about those that didn't help the Jews? Notice that verse 41. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. And naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these least, one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You're not saved by your righteousness or lost by your wickedness. You're saved by your faith in Jesus Christ, or you go to hell because you do not believe in it. Now, this judgment, the results is not salvation. It's a matter of who will live to go into the 1,000 years or who will die. When you judge by works, the results of that is punishment. And you can have rewards, but it's not salvation. Jesus will do all of the judgment of works. And that's what we read in our text of John 5:22. Well, why are we talking about sin and repentance of sin? Think about it now. For the lost, we can understand that. Yes, they need to repent of their sins, but it doesn't matter whether it be the lost or the saved. When you sin, regardless of whether you're saved or lost, you will be punished for that sin unless you are forgiven by God. Now, where the problem comes in, we think that that punishment is hell itself. The results of it will be that if they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But you've got lost people and you've got saved people who right now, and you have experienced it yourself, where you have been punished by sins that you have committed, and you'll continue to be punished unless you confess that sin before God and ask for forgiveness. Look at it in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. One of the problems we have as children of God in witnessing to others is that we're dirty. We get dirty by rebelling against God. We get dirty by walking in the pig pen. In other words, where sin is prevalent. We get dirty as we commit sin. When we're dirty, people are not going to pay attention to us. Lot was that way. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. He moved to Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not complain about what was going on, though it vexed his soul from day to day. He compromised with them. The result of that brought judgment. And when Lot, went to tell those in Sodom and Gomorrah that they need to repent and to turn to God, in which they were to believe that the Son of God would come and pay the price for our sins, they laughed at him. And people laugh at you today if you're dirty. In other words, if you haven't confessed your sins. When we confess our sins and ask God to forgive us of our sins, he will cleanse us. He will forgive us and cleanse us. That does not save us. We're already saved, but I got news for you. You still sin. And the Bible tells us in this verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. But we need to take a bath. We do that in the Word of God. We do that by confessing our sins. That's why God has us to repent of our sins so that we might be cleansed by him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, to be saved, when we believe that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, raised again the third day, what does that really mean, Satan? That means, yes, I've sinned, and I need Jesus to pay the price for my sins. I need forgiveness of my sins. The forgiveness of my sins does not save me. It keeps me from punishment. But my belief in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God and that he died for me, is what saves me. And I'm made right with God because of what Jesus has done for me. Jesus came to reconcile me to God, reconcile you to God, to make us right with him. And in that belief, it involves our repentance. It revolves our turning away from our way of living, from our decisions, to where we will live the way God wants us to live, where we will do things by his power. We'll do it his way and not our way. And we can only do that when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we trust him and we ask God then to forgive us. Yes, he does. He then, by his grace, not because of our works, but by his grace, makes us his child and where we can live by him. Notice John 3:16 again. With this in mind, now notice John 3:16, where Jesus told Nicodemus and the world today in John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're saved by grace, not by works, but we will be judged of our works. As to what our punishment might be or not be, where we can be forgiven of our sins and not be punished, and praise God for that, or we can be stubborn and still be spanked. He will spank us if we will not abide by him and obey him and repent or turn from our ungodliness and serve him. Notice in Acts chapter 16, a powerful story that is there of where Paul and Silas was put in prison. And they were in the innermost cells. And man, they were not only were they in jail and in the innermost part, but their feet were chained or tied to the floor by stocks and their chains. And there's no way for them to escape. An earthquake came. They were singing praises to God. They were set free. All the prisoners were set free. The prisoner, the one who was in charge of this, thought he would lose his life because if the prisoners escaped, he would be killed. And so when he sees what's going on and he's ready to kill himself, Paul tells him, no, don't do that. We're still here. Then the result of that in verse 30 of Acts chapter 16, and brought them out and said, sirs, this is the guard of the prison, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now that's the question. What must I do to be saved? Verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You're saved by grace and not by works. How do we exercise that? We'll look at it again, Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. We read it a while ago, but now let it come home to you of the matter of difference between salvation and works. We'll be judged for our works, but that doesn't determine whether we're saved or not. It's our belief that determines whether or not we're saved. In Romans 10, verse 8, but what saith it? The word belief, faith, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. Belief, faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, nothing about baptism. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Nothing about baptism, nothing about church membership, nothing about anything else, but believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now go back to John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. Listen to Jesus, verse 18. John 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. Jesus said in John 3, 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. The reason why we're not condemned, because we believe that Jesus died for us. Again the third day, and we've asked God to forgive us by the blood of Jesus. Not by our works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. He is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The world needs to know that Jesus died for their sins, that Jesus paid the full price, and that only through Jesus would God forgive them and God would save their souls. Not by their works, but by God's grace, his marvelous power. We try to go out and convince them how ungodly they are. They already know that. They need to know that they can be saved by God's grace through Jesus Christ. Not through Confucius, not through Mohammed, not through baptism, not through religion, but through Jesus Christ. And then, as you serve him, if you rebel and you continue in sin, you will be spanked by God, but you'll never lose your salvation, for you have everlasting life, not temporary life. Everlasting. You'll always be a child of God, whether obedient or disobedient. The world needs forgiveness. The world needs to be redeemed, and they cannot do it. They cannot pile up good works to overcome the bad works. The only way they can be forgiven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that's by God's grace. And you must believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. Have you done that? Or you think you're saved because you're a member of a church? Or because you did some good things? Or because you were baptized? Or because you kept the law? No, you're saved by God's power through belief in Jesus Christ. And now, because you're a child of God, you can live a life that is different from what you lived before. You will be forgiven of your sins because Jesus paid the price for you. Not that what you might do, but he's already done it for you. It might be tonight you need to come and ask God, or pray to God and tell him that you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And ask him to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus. And God said he would. Maybe you have, but you haven't been living the life that he'd have you to live. Your life's gotten a little dirty. You've been walking through the pig pen, which we need to, but some of it's been rubbing off on us. We need to repent of that. And God said he would cleanse us and make us right. One of the problems with our churches today and what we're involved in is that we've got used to the mud on us. No longer are we telling people to repent. And they need to repent and ask God to forgive them and to cleanse them, that we would be the witness and the power of God to the lost and dying world. It could be tonight God wants you to place your membership in this church on the promise of a letter, a statement from a sister Baptist church. Or maybe you've already prayed and you've asked God to forgive you. You believe that Jesus is God's Son. You believe that he is the Lord. But you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Now that baptism is not going to save you. You've already been saved by your belief in Jesus. But that baptism will help you to be obedient to God and have a better life as you serve him in this. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.